Welcome to the Victory of the Lamb podcast. We are a simple, straightforward Bible teaching church in Katy, Texas. If you are in the area, we'd love for you to stop by anytime. Otherwise, we hope you use this podcast to grow in your faith and be confident in sharing it with many. You can find us online at votl.org. We hope you enjoy this message, and God bless your week.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance today. As you consider this eternal truth, the Lord fights for you. You need only to be still. What a great message that King Jesus is reigning all the time in all places. Today, we have a slice of scripture that's not very well known. And so I think as we are thinking about how King Jesus reigns everywhere all the time, on our behalf for the good of his people, the background to this account is somewhat extensive, so I think we'll just jump right into it. I want you to understand what was going on when Numbers chapter 24 happened. So rewind your mind all the way back to the year 1400 BC, almost 3,500 years ago. Moses had led the people through the Red Sea about 40 years before this. They'd been wandering in the desert for almost 40 years, but that time was about over. In very short amount of time, Moses was going to go to heaven, and Joshua was going to lead the people into the promised land. The Israelites had just conquered a nation called the Amorites. It was a great victory for them. And as this nation of Israel, really without a home, wandered near the borders of a man named King Balak, the king of the country Moab, King Balak was freaked out. Not just because the Israelites were so massive, but also because the Israelites had just defeated the Amorites, and the Amorites had just defeated King Balak. So he thought, yikes, this massive group of people is just right over there, and they were powerful enough to beat the one that just beat me. What would he do? How could he protect himself? The only thing his godless, panicked mind could come up with was to curse the Israelites. He would hire someone to curse them. And so he found someone with credentials, a man named Balaam, who might be compared to someone who's maybe a world religions professor at a secular university today, someone who knows a lot about a lot of different world religions but isn't necessarily a follower of any of them. So the prophet Balaam was kind of a sorcerer and a professor, a mix of that, and he was hired by King Balak to curse the Israelites. King Balak wrote him a blank check. He said, "You name your price, I'll pay anything to curse these people." And Balaam said, "Okay, but you need to understand, I am limited. I can only say what God has given me to say." So King Balak led his hired man, Balaam, to an area that overlooked where the Israelites were camping. And here is what the first oracle was. "Balak, the king of Moab, brought me. Come," he said, "curse and denounce Israel for me. But how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? Who can even count them or number them? May my end be just like the Israelites' end." And King Balak heard this, and he was kind of miffed. He said, "Hey, I hired you to curse them, not bless them." And Balaam said, "Well, I can only do what God has given me to do. I can only speak his word that he allows me to speak." So King Balak said, "Let's try this again." And they went to a different spot where they were overlooking the Israelites. And a second oracle from God came to Balaam. This time he said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I have received a command to bless. He has blessed them, and I cannot change it. The Lord their God is with them. The shout of the king is among them. There is no sorcery against Israel. And King Balak was a little more than miffed. And he said, how about you neither curse them nor bless them? Just don't say anything at all anymore. Well, after he said that, he decided to try a third time and took Balaam to another spot. And this third time, the message from God came, and Balaam said this to Sher: how beautiful are your tents, O Jacob! Their kingdom will be exalted. God brought them out of Egypt and made them strong. They devour hostile nations and break their bones in pieces. Like a lion, they crouch and lie down. Who dares to rouse them? May those who bless Israel be blessed, and anyone who curses Israel be cursed. King Balak was furious, and he clapped his hands together and he said, you are not getting paid. I am not giving you any money. And Balaam said, well, didn't I say in the start of all this that you could give me a palace full of gold and silver, but I can only say the words that God has given me to say. And then, without asking for it, he offered a fourth message from God's mouth for the people to hear. And that is the sermon verses for today. Numbers chapter 24, verses 15 through 17. Then Balaam spoke this message: the prophecy of Balaam, son of Beor, the prophecy of one whose eye sees clearly, the prophecy of one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate and whose eyes are opened. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter, what a king holds, will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the sons of Sheth. This message from God through the godless prophet, Balaam, was real. It was really what was on God's mind. And the message meant King Balak's worst nightmare was going to come true. And there was nothing he could do about it. Every time he tried to curse his enemy, the Lord only blessed them in return. It backfired. A scepter would rise not out of Moab, but out of Israel. The star would rise not out of Moab, but out of Jacob. This was true back then, wasn't it? In 1400 BC, that King Jesus was ruling everywhere. And he was going to get his way. Here's the part that I think is the best, and maybe the part that I hope you take home today the most. The Israelites didn't even know. They were just down there in their valley, minding their own business, eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner, mending their fences, herding their flocks. They didn't even know that this king right over there was noticing them and trying to curse them and was willing to pay any amount in order to do that. And yet, God didn't allow it to happen. They didn't even know what the Lord was doing behind the scenes to bless them. They were just going about their daily lives. And they had promises to cling to, like, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. But they didn't have all the details of how that would play out. Yet they could be sure King Jesus was ruling for them all the time, in all places, and he didn't need their help. And he didn't have to give them all the details. They could be confident in his promises. King Jesus was ruling in 1400 BC. King Jesus also was ruling around the year zero, when he came from heaven to earth as a baby in the manger. When he, out of love, decided to be born so that he could one day die. When he decided to come for sinful people who tried to curse each other and who struggled to trust in him above all things. He came for sinners to pay for sin in full so that we could all know he loves us enough to win heaven forever. The star came up, didn't it, when he was born, and magi from the east, a far-off country, traveled a long ways in order to see it. And they found the baby Jesus, and when they did, they spared no effort. They traveled lots of miles. They didn't care who knew about it and who cared and who didn't. They spared no expense giving him gold and frankincense and myrrh as they worshipped him with great joy. Nothing but the best would do. The star rose out of Jacob. The scepter rose out of Israel. King Jesus was reigning then. King Jesus is reigning now. He is reigning in Katy, Texas. He is reigning in your heart as you trust his word. He is reigning in your circle of influence, the people you know, your family, your friends, your acquaintances. He's reigning in Washington, D.C., right now. He's reigning in California and Canada. He's reigning in Russia and Japan and Brazil and Mexico. He's reigning in Antarctica, where there even aren't that many people. Jesus is reigning there. He will be reigning there the rest of this month, and in February, and in March, and in 2022, and in 2025, and on from there. Jesus is reigning all the time. And whether we get all the details as to how that falls together, it doesn't really matter, does it? Like those Israelites camping, just going about their own business, and the Lord was reigning on their behalf all the time. We can have that same confidence and peace and security. King Jesus is reigning all the time for the benefit of his kingdom, that his word will touch souls as often as possible. What are some sins that you think about in your own heart that might come to the surface when you think about King Jesus reigning all the time, but I don't know how good I do at staying there and trusting that? Well, how about, let's just take the relationship, I guess if you could call it that, between the Israelites and King Balak. What about, let's just pretend the Israelites knew that King Balak wanted to curse them. How do you react when someone's out to get you? When someone sure seems like they don't have your best interest in mind? When they are trying to one-up you or trample you, how do you react? Is it easy to say King Jesus is reigning all the time and I trust him and I'll move forward one foot in front of the next with that as my center? Or do we panic? Do we get afraid? Do we try to one-up them first? I think that's more normal, isn't it? What about the flip side, when sometimes our sinful natures get the best of us and we act like King Balak? Somebody has wronged us, or we perceive they might wrong us, and so we want to curse them. We want to do damage to them. We want to have justice into our own hands, as though we know all the facts and can bring it down. That's a sin, isn't it, to imagine that you are the one who's reigning everywhere at all time, who knows all the facts and who is in charge of everybody else's life. we repent of that sin and say, Lord, I'm small. Lord, I don't know all the facts, and I never will. I can't even read one person's heart besides myself. Lord, I'm not in charge of bringing justice anywhere. What I ask you is to forgive me of my self-centered sin. Reign in my heart anew, all over again, so that I might live for you today and let everything else fall into place after that. How does King Jesus react to the sinful person who has been out to get him, who has tried to kick him off his throne, but now realizes their mistake? He forgives us. He loves us. He does everything needed in order to right the relationship between us and God. He says, I came for people just like you, and I wasn't scared to die. I wasn't getting the jitters when I approached the cross, even though it was terrible. It was worth it for me to have you in my arms forever. Jesus has forgiven all of your sin, trying to be the king instead of him. And he implants, in place of your sinful heart, a trusting heart. One that loves him. One that loves the fact that he's king over everything all the time. One that loves the fact that he's king in your life. That when you talk about things that come up in your life, you want to talk first about him and not you. What a gift that King Jesus reigns all the time, because he does know all the facts. He is in charge of justice, and he will read every heart and every motivation. The Lord fights for you. You need only to be still. And he is fighting for you, whether you realize it or not. Just like he was fighting for the Israelites, turning Balaam's curses into blessings, making King Balak super frustrated and helpless, while the Israelites were just going about their daily routines. It's fantastic, isn't it, to know who King Jesus is and to be on his side. That all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him and nobody else. That surely he is with us to the end of the age. Yes, us. And when we are going about our daily routines, he is blessing us and keeping us. He is causing his face to be shining on us and to be gracious to us. He is looking on us with his favor and giving us his peace. When so much out there might be in evil, the Lord still is ruling to give us his peace. God bless you as you think about that. Now, Jesus has been reigning many years ago, is reigning today, will be reigning for many years to come. The Lord Jesus fights for you. You need only to be still and rejoice in his finished work. Amen.
Time is precious. Thank you so much for investing some of your time with us today. Could I ask you for one more favor? If you're enjoying this podcast, please don't forget to click subscribe and give us a rating. Just a few seconds of your time will help other people hear the simple, straightforward Bible message we offer. Thank you so much. God bless your day in Christ.